Hello everyone, welcome to Modern Workplace Conversations, where we explore critical and often under-discussed topics within the professional world. Every week, feature experts ranging from HR professionals to operators to lawyers and CEOs to provide you with diverse perspectives on workplace issues, trends, and best practices. I'm Oluwani Femikolawole, Senior Editor, TechPoint Africa. Today we discuss onboarding from the experiences of an employee who has gone through 5 different kind of onboarding processes at different organizations and an HR professional who handles the same thing for their own company. Joining me today is Chris Anaeli, a tech sales expert, and Princess Edupai, the co-founder and CEO of Spurt. This episode largely explores what companies get wrong with onboarding, the effect of improper onboarding, how to fix the outcomes, among other tips to get onboarding right. Let's get right into it. So Chris, what does onboarding mean to you? You can also share some kind of onboarding processes you've been through.
From my point of view, right, onboarding is a process where you immerse a new employee into the company, right? And two things is, it's not just giving them their tools and saying, this is your tools, go and work. It's also putting them through how to use that tools. Let me give you an instance. When I was with a particular company, one thing that really worked was the company opened up a new demo platform, right? As salespeople, you're selling a tech product, you have to go out there and show your product, right? So the company opened a new demo platform, fresh, like, you know, where you just bought something very new, but it's not set up yet. I was tasked to set that up, right? And I was being followed up on. While setting it up, there were two amazing people who are in a different team. The team where they are in is implementation team. These two people were very crucial, always waiting after work, taking me 2 hours, 1 hour, 30 minutes, as the case may be. And I was able to set up that system. I would like to, like, after setting up that system, I understood it. Like, there was nothing about it I didn't know again, right? It's that kind of process where you're saying, how do we make sure that at the end of so-and-so time, right, that this person will hit the ground running, right? Is if there are trainings to be taken, let's say communication skill is something you think is very, very important in that role. Even though they told you in the interview that, yes, I can communicate, do you want to incorporate communication training into that entire process? So that's what I see onboarding as, like I said, from an employee perspective. Yeah, I've gone through a lot of onboarding, and not faulting any of these organizations. Those onboarding could have been done based on different reasons. It could be a knowledge gap, right? If you know better, you do better. It could be resource gap. They don't even have the resources to get all of that done, right? Now, I've gone through a 5 minutes. Oh, this is what we do. This is what we do. This is what happens here. I've sent all of the documents to you via mail. I've sent the handbook and everything you need. Just read them and you'll be good. Bye-bye. And that was it. And I had to continue going ahead to deliver results. But I also be very, very sincere that it took me close to 3 months before the results started coming. And this is a company that, before I came on board, I remember even when I came on board, they were always looking at it and saying nobody was able to sell that particular product, right? And like I said earlier, it's not the company's fault. It could be a lot of things, right? Everybody wants to be focused on making money, right? And that's why as a company, there are HR aspects of your company you also need to look at critically. Can we do them ourselves? If we can't do them, can we outsource it? Can we give it to people who would do it, especially say things like this onboarding process we're talking about, right? Do you want to work with an outsourcing company that comes up with the process, shows you what the process is, and maybe apart from that, also puts your people through that process, right? It's something to really consider, right? And I've also been at a company where the company implemented a body system. that's the one that Microsoft also use. Someone who, the person is there to help you grow, right? And get better, right? But do I think that particular system should be way better in terms of, like I said, it's a process, right? And HR should lead that process, not just probably setting meetings, but saying, these are what we are coming to do in this meeting. And also setting assessments to also validate if this employee is really learning. Let me give you an instance, right? If one of the things I need as a revenue generator, someone who generates revenue for any company, is product knowledge, right? You want to, as a company, HR, everybody involved, make sure that by my second or third month, through a process, not just leaving me to go and find it myself, but through a process that you engineer to make sure that I learn what that product is. And then secondly, I'm able to, let me give you an instance. I know of a company that this is what they do, what I just explained. You come in as a salesperson. For the first 3 months, they are really not expecting anything from you. In fact, they are telling you, don't sell yet. Calm down. So they've already accepted that 3 months salary, it's an investment, right? They are not expecting anything from you. And in that 3 months, you go through training about the product, and then you will still come and present that product to the entire C-level, right? If you know you are going to do that, it puts you on your toes to learn the product as fast as possible. And you could go as much as saying, okay, if the product is something big and all of that, okay, present this aspect in this meeting, present this other aspect in this meeting. Also set up meetings where the person is being taught that thing, and then another meeting where the person comes to say what they know and also get assessed in terms of being asked questions and all of that, right? So I've even gone to the one where nobody really spoke to you. You just got a mail and say, welcome to the team, and continue your life from there. And maybe someone calls you later and the person says, okay, welcome to the team, and pulls you into a meeting, maybe with even a client, or an internal meeting where you should partake in, right? And all of that. So yeah, so many process that we've seen and also gone through within this number of years.
Princess, please share from your experience what companies get wrong with onboarding.
Thinking that onboarding process is one size fits all. It's not. And that one size fits all is what makes you say you want to onboard people and you put an onboarding for 1 day. In fact, 2 days, 3 days is not enough for you to onboard people. You need at least a week to 2 weeks to fully onboard somebody, because someone is coming to a new environment, has to get accustomed to your culture. One of the first things they get wrong is like lack of structure and planning. Right, I see a lot of companies, and even people have complained that there is no like well-defined onboarding process. In fact, you should have an onboarding course, if possible, and a curriculum, right? And this will also help you shape the first experience or the first impressions of the candidates. And you see that when people don't do this, you see that these candidates become overwhelmed, because there's a lot of information. They are being bombarded with a lot of information. So you can either have like a pamphlet, a manual, an onboarding course, and have like a documented onboarding process that helps everyone understand where each person is at the process. Companies don't provide enough training, right, to people. So when I mean training, I don't mean training them on like their roles or all of that, but training them on things like the company policies, understanding SOPs, processes, what tools will be used. And again, I think I also sort of like would also just kind of hint on the fact that aside the normal organizational onboarding, people should have units or departmental onboarding. So you have the whole organization onboarding, where you're told about the company, people in the company, and all of that. And then you're taken down to the unit where you now talk about the departmental onboarding. And I think there should also be another layer, which is the last layer of onboarding, which has to do with the tools, right? Tools that are being used for your job, that are being used by every employee or contractor of that particular organization. And or any tool that you should use for like your specific role. I mean, people don't introduce the new people to key stakeholders. For example, other members of the team and the broader organization. For example, when a new growth lead comes and sends an email, the client is like kind of confused as to who is this because there was no proper introduction. And you find out that this makes it harder to be able to build lasting or even good relationships and understand how their work fits into like the larger picture in the organization. There is no ongoing engagement. But what happens after the onboarding? Many people drop the ball on check-ins. I mean, I see this particular problem more often than I would like to see it. And you'll see that this would now make the new hires feeling like they are isolated, they are not part of the team, and even unsupported over time.
How about we talk about who should be involved in the onboarding process?
Everyone, right? From the CEO to the HR to even the employee himself, everybody should be concerned. For the CEO, right, who is looking at bottom line, you might think that I employ this person, I want to start seeing the fruit, especially in some kind of roles, right? And you're thinking, I need to start reaping the fruit of getting this person in now. In a lot of times, that might not be possible, right? And you want to make sure that the time that person hits the ground running is shorter, more structured, and at your own control. So that part is also talking about the HR, right? And the C-level executives looking at it and saying, oh, okay, on an average, when someone joins so-and-so department, it takes them about 2 months to ramp up. If from your experience right now, you are not even doing any of this kind of onboarding and what you just have is the one-day stuff where you talk about your product and just, that is really not enough, right? Ask yourself that those who had succeeded eventually, how long did it take them to succeed? If you're getting people on that level who are not, say, part of that industry, you want to help them because if they do well, you also do well. And it's also that of the employee in the sense that, yes, it's the truth. We all wish it was better. We all wish it was the best, but you just can't sit down and wait for someone to come put you through. So you have to go ahead, ask questions, reach out to colleagues, try to gain as much knowledge as you need to get that work done. But I think a collaboration between everybody, the C-level executives, to understand the importance of onboarding, because it's very, very crucial. And that onboarding period, if also not done well, could make you get disengaged workers because they don't know what to do. They are looking at it and like, what do I do here, right?
In terms of like the onboarding process, so different people are involved based on different units, right? The most important people are sort of like the HR team, right? So basically what they do is to kind of design the actual onboarding process and the actual onboarding program, right? And they also kind of oversee things like the paperwork, their remuneration, compliance, benefit enrollment like pension, HMO and all of that. That's what they do, right? And they also train on company policies and culture as well, because those are the HR team are the major cultural champions of any organization. And then you also have the people, the recruiters or the hiring managers. They are responsible for setting clear expectations, right? And they work closely with most of these new hired employees for a smooth transition into the particular role they've been hired for. Their immediate team members, including like the team leads and their colleagues, should be involved in the hiring process because they need to understand where this person is at and also educate the person on what it means to be part of that team. They are also part of the people that will provide that hands-on training and also introduce that new employee to the relevant stakeholders. And this can also help them integrate into the team faster. It's also very important that these people are involved in the onboarding process because there's something I like to call peer-to-peer mentorship or mentor and buddy system. Older people on the team mentor the newer people, and there's something called shadowing, right? Where they shadow them on the activities that they perform. Another very important set of people that are important in the onboarding process are the IT, product support, facilities people, whatever the case may be, right? The IT people, basically, they provide access to the tools that you use. Typically, in most smaller organizations, people that do this are usually in the HR department, provide maybe access to opening your Microsoft Teams, helping you sign up on Sync and all of that, and giving you like necessary tools and systems, and also provide you with training on how to use them. In smaller organizations, these people are also in the people operations team, but in larger units, there's also an IT facilitation support team that basically helps you kind of do all of that. I think last but not the least are like the leadership themselves, management, right? They also need to be involved in the onboarding process because they need to help reinforce the company's culture that you have set out or the expectations of that particular person. And one thing that people don't understand is that their participation in this onboarding process, right? For example, maybe the welcome session or the main day one of the onboarding process can have it makes the person feel like, oh, they are welcome. Even though everybody has welcomed them, they feel more welcome. And it has this very significant impact on the engagement of that new hire and also their commitment as well. So typically, these are the people that would be involved in an onboarding process. In fact, I even forgot to add, you can also add the design team, because those are people that would also help the person work on ID cards, email signatures and the like. So there are a lot of people. I think everybody basically should be involved in the onboarding process just to help the person integrate into the team better.
What are the signs that indicate that the company has probably gotten onboarding wrong, and how can these issues be fixed?
Some of the problems of improper onboarding is, number one, the employee doesn't feel involved, right? They feel isolated. Another problem is the person will definitely struggle, right, to quickly understand what their roles are, the responsibilities, what are the company's processes, what are their tools. And down the line, the person might just get tired and might not even be productive. Another thing that it could also lead to is low engagement or poor retention. It's going to lead to confusion, right? And it's going to feel like there's no cohesion within the unit or that kind of organization. And down the line, you understand that this can undermine what that organization stands for in terms of their culture and their brand, as this new person that you have hired may not even have received any consistent messaging from time to time, because you know that every single organization has their brand messaging, has their brand voice. You talk to person A in one brand voice, you talk to person B in another brand voice. When people are bringing up work, they will talk to you based on how they've been onboarded. That's if I'm being honest, right? So that's why it's also very good to have a consistent onboarding experience with every single person that comes in. Another problem is you have a compliance problem. People will not be following policies. Even legal requirements, people will not follow. And it can lead to issues like reputation damage for you as an organization. Another issue is there is always misalignment between what the person is doing and what the organization wants or what the company wants. They will not understand how their work is important. And they will not be able to collaborate with people because they don't even understand what their role is about. That's when you start seeing people working in silos. They'll be missing opportunities. They'll be missing deadlines. Last but not the least, I think building relationship. When somebody is kind of onboarded poorly into your organization, you find out that they are unable to build relationship with colleagues. And this disrupts what your current team dynamics look like and even the overall morale of the organization.
General low performance, as the case may be, that the person is not performing in some areas and not doing what they are supposed to do in other areas, right? You also want to ask yourself what the competencies for that particular role is, right? But you yourself must also know what the ideal is, right? What's the ideal that this person should have been in by this time? Right. If you're a new company and you don't know, maybe you also want to learn as you go along and learn from other companies and do more research on how to make that happen. But yeah, so it's like I said, from an employee point of view, it's general low performance. Right. Are there core skills that you think this person should have developed at that point in time? Right. And this person doesn't have it. Are there certain results that you think should have coming, right, and the person is not bringing it in, right? So these are gaps. So you want to look at those gaps and then ask yourself, what could I have done better when this person came in to block this gap? Maybe that would then help you, even if that person does not succeed or does not stay, will help you get better in the next person, because you then realize that, yes, we might all say it's the hiring process that is wrong, right? You hire people and they turn out not to be good fit. But really, it doesn't just end in hiring. You can't make all of that good decision to know all of that, because you're asking questions and candidates are answering you as honest as they can. Do they believe they can do the job? Yes. That's why they are also coming. They do not want to go to a place where they will get to and then they will have to leave very quickly. That also affects their own career, right? So if we've both agreed to move forward on that, right, how do you then make sure that we work together and cautiously make sure that that such an employee succeeds, right? But yeah, it's looking at it and saying, this person we have who is a high performer, where are they? Where were they when they joined? Where are they now? What are the key things we are seeing that are making them perform good, that are making them do well, right? Is not a trade secret. Find out from that person, analyze the person, get those things together and come up with an onboarding based on those things and see, once someone walks in at the door and this is the role, they will go through learning each and every one of this thing that this person is doing, the same way he's doing it to succeed, right? And we are sure that if this person goes through this process, a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, as the case may be, depending on whatever you decide there, that this person would have gained these skills. I'm not talking about that gap based on subjectivism, where you're just being subjective, right? You're not doing it with, say, even good data in terms of knowing that, okay, this is really what obtains. I'm talking about you knowing that this is where realistically this person should have been and this hasn't happened. And what would we have done previously to help him even get better than this? Maybe not even get to 100% where we're looking at, but at least move away from where he or she is at the moment towards that goal. Yeah.
Sometimes, right, because people involved, there's no remedy, right? Sometimes, in some cases, right? But if you have looked at your onboarding process and you're seeing that, yeah, there are some lapses, I think the first step you should do is to conduct a thorough review of what your existing onboarding program looks like, right? And I think we should get feedback from new hires, managers, and other stakeholders like members of the team, unit leads, and all of that. Then go forward to improve on your current onboarding process and like come up with a new one, basically. Also ensure that when it comes to onboarding, it is not a one-size-fits-all. You cannot onboard a manager the way you onboard an intern. I think the third thing we should also talk about is making the onboarding process more consistent. If you don't already have put together onboarding documentation, you should actually have that in place. On the part of using tools and technology, implement digital onboarding platforms. For example, Sync does this where you can onboard people seamlessly when you put your checklist on it, and then you understand where you are in your onboarding process with every single person, right? You can also include other learning management tools. We use a lot of them at Spread as well. And even most of our tools can help you sort of work on your self-paced learning, right? And sort of like progress tracking as well. One very additional thing I'll just add to that is ongoing support. Just continue engaging, supporting, have weekly check-ins, if possible bi-weekly check-ins, if weekly check-ins are too much, just to get feedback from people that have already been onboarded, that you see that they are being onboarded wrong. Nobody is too old in your organization to onboard. In fact, recently we had an onboarding for every single person on our team. It's never too late to onboard, if I'm being honest. As far as that person is still in that organization, it's never too late to onboard. And one thing we've done is, aside having an onboarding body that we do at Spread, you also have like a normal body during your mentor and body system.
How important is documentation to the onboarding process?
Talking about documentation and why it's important to actually build an onboarding process or curriculum for new hires. So, I mean, important documents like reference checks and all of that are very important even for you to even understand the kind of person you're hiring. Don't come and hire a criminal, right? Let me list some of the documentation: the employee manual, employee handbook, the history of the organization or how the organization was founded, the mission, the vision, what the policies are, what are your standard operating procedures as an organization. And you can then talk about your unit playbook. Most of these things I'm stating are what we have at Spread. One thing we have is the role-specific playbook, like, or the unit playbook, right? And what it does, and what would be in that particular playbook, is to detail what the new employees' responsibilities will be, what their KPIs, what tools and resources are available for them to use during their time at the company. Set clear expectations. So what will be the task for them for their first 30 days, for their first 60 days, and for their first 90 days? One thing I always like to tell people is that because we are in a continent that reading is not rampant, right? One thing I always advise is whatever onboarding course you are putting, mixed format. I mean, let it be both interactive, You can add videos there, pair shadowing. And what do I mean by pair shadowing? People have the ability to learn from other employees that have been in the organization longer than they have been. It also reduces your onboarding costs. Another thing again that those documents can do for you as an organization is to kind of have an alignment so everybody understands. This was what I was told at the beginning of my onboarding. These were the expectations that were laid out to me as a growth lead. These are what I'm going to follow and all of that. And then it's just more compliant when you have a standardized document or standardized curriculum for everybody that is passing through your onboarding process to go through. For example, the onboarding curriculum, I'm just giving an example of what we have at Spirit. Our current curriculum has the company overview. So basically what the company overview does is to introduce Spirit, the industry we are in, and what our competitive landscape looks like in terms of like who are competitors. It also throws light into our culture and our values. The curriculum also includes sort of like policies and standard operating procedures. So it covers HRO, our IT and security, because we are very big on security and cybersecurity at Spirit. And we're also big on data because we even have a workshop that we do on a bi-monthly basis around GDPR. And then you would also state if there are some role-specific training that are needed for the person. And then personal development. So because every single month at Spirit, we have something called the personal development plan. So when you have this holistic curriculum coupled with all these documents that you have put together, you see that people are now feel that they can perform better. Right, it will lead to some sort of improved productivity and performance because having a structured onboarding process would help these new people get up to speed faster. Right, they understand what they're supposed to do. It also reduces time it takes them to be more productive, as well as the resources that they need to excel in their roles.
I know there's a software out there by Charles Dyro, if I'm not wrong, that helps organizations to automate their processes. And understand their processes. So what it means is, if I'm a salesperson and my organization is using that software helps me understand what are the process I am going through before I close a deal. I contact the person, I do this, I do that, I wrote this, I sent them this, I did that, I did this, and it has that entire process. If someone else from my team, if someone else joins my team, during that period, right, the person can go through that system and then understand what I have been doing, right, to get the result. And you can also still do it for your team right now, because let's say you have one person who is performing very, very well. You really want to know what their process is, right? And you want to document that process. And you want to pass that process along to both the people who are in the company right now and the people who are coming in. Because the truth is, like I said, it's a healthy competition where you want people in your team to compete to do better. But it's not healthy when, because you are not hands-on, maybe information is not being disseminated very, very well. Everybody is not understanding what the best process right now to achieving that result is. Yes, we see that one person is achieving results, but we don't know what the person is doing to achieve that result, right? And so we can't even replicate it, right? If you're lucky enough, you are in a place where you can ask the person and the person tells you, right? That makes sense. But imagine if you could get that to the person, to the employee, by yourself as an organization, where the person comes in and you're saying, these are all the processes we go through to get this done, right? These are the processes. It's in the document. It's not just a handover note. It's a document that explains all of the process. So I'm saying, for instance, you are a journalist and you get into a company as a journalist and you already know the process is documented, the process to do different kind of stories, right? Depending on what their complexity is, right? That helps you better than you trying to find out yourself, right? Maybe by asking people questions. Yes, there are people who are like that. They will ask questions and they will get it. But truly, not everyone is like that, right? And you do not want to take that chance as an organization. You want to make sure that at the end of the day, you can see, yes, we did our best in showing this person everything and putting everything on a plate for them to then be able to thrive. But they could not thrive. If that then doesn't work, you can then decide how to either move forward or move ahead from such an employee. But you want to make sure that you at least are the one in control of this process.
To do a recap, what are the elements of a proper onboarding process?
We have the onboarding and then we have the pre-boarding. So the pre-boarding basically has to do with collecting the necessary paperwork, reference checks, and basically sharing the start date for the new employee, orientation, role-specific training, team integration, ongoing learning and development, and then support as well, communication and feedback, culture training. So if these are not part of your onboarding, you're not doing it well.
So some companies excuse not having a proper onboarding as the employee not being a self-starter. Chris, what do you think of that move?
Well, I'm not an expert, but as an employee, right, it makes sense to look for those kind of people, right? People who probably are self-starters, they will take initiative and all of that. It really makes sense to do that. You can't fault any organization for wanting that. Imagine if you could have also helped that person more than how they are helping themselves. Yes, it makes sense that you're looking at it and you're saying, oh yeah, this person should do it themselves. They should come up with ideas, do this and do that. It makes sense, right? But imagine if you helped that person before they did that. You already have it planned out. And as the person is coming, you're handing it over to them and you're immersing them in it. It will help them run faster than they could have run, right? There's a Chinese proverb that says, to know the road ahead, ask those who are coming back. I'm sure that there's nothing that person is doing in your company that probably nobody has ever done before. If it's new and nobody has done it before, okay, cool. Maybe that's where you need a self-starter even more, right? But if it's something that someone has done before, do you understand the process that person used to do it, right? Can you hand it over to the next person, even if they are a self-starter, and still hand it over to them and say, take, run? It helps them to move faster. It makes it easier for them to get into the groove, as it were, and get the work done. We always talk about the ideal. The ideal is that you find a self-starter who self-starts in 2 weeks. But there are also self-starters that it might take 8 months before they self-start, right? Because they are trying, 6-8 months, because they are trying to figure it out really, as it were, right? And especially if you then have a culture that is not also helping them to then be able to ask lots of questions, and people are not so collaborative to tell them things and all of that, it then becomes very, 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 very difficult in that particular case.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Modern Workplace Conversations. Catch you in the next one.